tech we trust. Charge we're not sure about.
Hey now everybody, it's 2017 and In Tech We Trust is back on the air. I'm Mark Farley.
I'm Edian Porter de Leon.
I'm Rick Vanover.
And I'm not morally safer. I'm Gabriel Chapman.
Holy cow, we've got four of us. This is when's the last time we had four of us on a show?
It's a record for 2017.
We're starting out the new year right.
Got to get at least four people on the show.
Yeah, and we don't have Nigel. Who's going to edit this thing anyway?
No. I voluntold myself for that. I'm in.
Rick's all over that.
All right, so Rickatron is on it. Let's just do a little bit of banter up front here. You know, how was everybody's holidays, and how was the family baggage and all of that? We'll start with you, Yadin.
Oh, the baggage? Oh, man, there's a whole bunch of it, let me tell you. But I didn't get to brew beer. That's the one thing I'm upset about. No beer brewing, but there were a lot of wonderful memories made. And lots of lovely photographs. None have made it to Facebook yet, but I'm sure they will soon. Did you get to brew at all, Mark?
I did no brewing, but I drank some beer, however.
Yes.
Oh, and I had pictures of myself show up on Facebook without me necessarily wanting to. And then some people found out that I was like in town, and they kind of stalked me. And, you know, how come you haven't gotten a hold of me and all that stuff. So, F you, Facebook, for spoiling my privacy around the holidays.
Damn you, Facebook. There's a Farley sighting. See, I like that most of my childhood and, adulthood has been relegated to the days before Facebook. When I was with people, none of it was documented on social media. And all of those people back then would never serve as credible witnesses. So I'm pretty much in the clear.
All right. Now we're up to Gabriel. Holidays. Did you have a holiday?
I did have a holiday. We were shut down, which was interesting because I'm always puzzled by the concept of shutting down a company during any time you can be selling stuff. But it was actually kind of nice, and I really did not work. I did not work for like 9 days. I mean, I had my laptop, but I didn't use it for work stuff.
How many passwords did you forget during those 9 days?
I used one pass. But, it was kind of nice to just not do anything for work. And I just went back and I was looking back through my travel schedule, and I did 6 trips around the world in flight last year.
So are you like double platinum
status? 149,000 miles.
So have you gone back to work already? Are you back now?
Yeah, I started on Tuesday.
Okay.
It's like it was the craziest thing. I mean, it's like I really did not. You say I have to look at a calendar because I don't even remember.
Basically, from 9 days to like just come in and say fuck it all, I'm quitting.
Well, from essentially the 23rd of December until the 2nd, or till the 3rd, till yesterday, I actually did not actually have to work, which was just perplexing.
Yeah,
it's a weird feeling.
Like a vacation.
Isn't that weird?
And then when I had to do a presentation the first day back, I'm like, God, I'm kind of rusty. I haven't spoken for an hour straight in quite some time. It was like I had to go back and exercise the demons or shake a little bit of the rust off.
But where's my blow?
Where's my blow? Yes, I did not get any of my stocking this year. It's an oversight, I'm sure, by Santa.
Coal instead of blow. I hate when that happens. All right, Rick, what's up?
Santa did it all.
Well, hey, man, I did some hardcore chilling myself. I took off since I think it was the 15th. I went to an early preview of Rogue One, and I don't care if you've seen it or not yet. It's awesome. And then I started a vacation the rest of the year.
Spoiler alert, how does it end?
Well, they all die. That's how it ends, all right?
Great. I love that.
But anyways, freaking awesome movie. That's a great way to start a vacation. I just saved up all my PTO. I mean, a lot of us, work on global teams, so you guys know how this goes. But it's really hard to really take time off during the year. Like, I've had Memorial Days the last couple of years where I've had to be out of the country for work because that's a U.S. thing, right?
Because that's not a vacation. It's not a real holiday.
Yeah, it's not a real holiday for us. But the end of the year seems to work. And I took about 2.5 weeks off. And it actually took me about 3 or 4 days for it to really set in. But, man, do I feel so good now. I'm already 2 days back in, but it was really, really needed to reboot myself. And I, like Gabe, I had a real ball ache of a year, man. I had like 179,000 miles on one airline.
What word was that?
Ball ache. A ball ache. Well, it depends on if you get kicked with just, and it hits just one or hits two. It's a ball ache, man. I'm telling you. It was an incredible travel year. It just really hurt, and it was really the big exhale. In fact, I went in saying I'm going to write a blog about this year. It was a really tough one for me, but I just enjoyed chilling too much, so I didn't. But now I'm back. I'm ready to go, man. Ready to rock it. I drank a lot of beer. I didn't make any beer. Watched a lot of TV. I cleaned a garage. I put a rack. Put a rack in the basement and racked all my gear instead of IKEA tables with like drilled holes in it with rack mount gear. And no, I'm looking all big time in my home office. So it was great.
You had like a super geeky group, man. You racked up gear in your basement.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And I gave myself a foot bath and, you know, I was just chilling. It was awesome.
Did Santa Claus bring you a router this year or something?
Santa Claus brought me a mobile refrigerator for my car that plugs in and is like an electric cooler type of thing. So if I'm bringing beer to the party,
I hope it's for beer. Yeah.
Got to bring your beer cold and keep it cold. So I got that going on. And I got a whole bunch of other things, but that was the big thing I got.
Dang. Hey,
so what do you think? Should we actually get into some news? This is news from last year. I don't know that there is any news from 2017 yet. I guess what's ever coming out of CES. But as enterprise guys, does anybody here really care about what's happening at CES?
Not at all.
Hey, maybe Wi-Fi will get better. I saw something about that. That's the only thing of hope. But news is news, and even if it's new to you, it's still news, even if it's last year's news.
So let's talk about GitHub and what a great business GitHub is looking like it's becoming.
Or the issues with GitHub.
Yeah.
You know, there's some people that can give away stuff for free and make money, and then some that can't.
So this article appeared on Bloomberg. It was from December 15th. This is about the same day that you went to see Rogue One, Rickatron. And you know, it seems to me maybe the whole company just should have gone on. You know, Gabriel talked about shutting down a company for a week. He doesn't get it. I'm thinking, why not do the whole month? So, but anyway, GitHub, it was reported on December 15th on Bloomberg, lost $66 million in 9 months. And strangely enough, they've all of a sudden the board has moved to put in a bunch of financial people to kind of straighten this out. Because
you mean adults?
Apparently, that's not a sustainable business model. And you guys look at this or have any thoughts on what's going on with that?
You know, it's one of those things that's a challenge, is because you have a really great idea. It gains a lot of traction, momentum, and then you actually have to make money with it at some point. And I think you see the parallels with this and Docker to a certain extent, because everybody wants to use it. It has a lot of utility and a lot of value, but turning it into a viable profit-making business is a challenge. And so, you know, obviously the people who spent $250 million to invest in this, mostly, you know, Sequoia Capital and some others, they're going to try and bring some people in to see if they can right the ship and actually generate revenue with it. Because nobody's in this business to just, you know, for goodwill. You know, got to make money at some point.
This reminds me a lot of YouTube. I remember... I think it was Eric Schmidt had said that they had trouble making the economics of YouTube work when Google bought them. And I kind of think that something like this is really similar in a way that it's kind of a necessary technology, but the monetization isn't quite there yet. If anybody will figure it out, it's Google. So maybe Google should buy them.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were really proving out the fact that, and when everyone told them that you can't make any money creating tools for developers, I think they were one of the big pioneers that disproved that. And they're starting to get competition. So I think, I mean, one of the big reasons for the loss is that they went on a hiring spree and their revenue just wasn't keeping pace with how much they were doing in the hiring category. And so the business model they're saying, of course, GitHub saying, you know, that the competition and the market shifts are validating their business model. But I think Bloomberg is questioning that. And I think some people are starting to question that $2 billion valuation that they got.
So, well, let's follow up that kind of downer story on GitHub with another downer story, which is around smartwatches. We've talked about smartwatches before. It appears that actually nobody's buying them. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't recall seeing any ads or any swag or anything interesting around smartwatches during the holidays. What the hell is going on?
You saw Pebble take a crap, right? And then, I mean,
it was, I think that was the crap of death, right?
Yeah, it's done. I mean, they basically said, we're not even going to update. We're not even going to keep the NTP server running.
Oh, you turn off the NTP server, you know it's done.
But no, you know, I just think that, you know, it was faddish. And it didn't live up to the hype or the promise. It just ended up being an expensive watch. And I'm like, oh, it's one more thing I got to charge. One more thing I got to plug in. One more thing I got to, you know, it's a $400, you know, phone extension. And, you know, I mean, I would never buy an Apple Watch. If somebody gave me an Apple Watch, I'm sure I would wear it, right? But the reality is like, I'm just going to pull my phone out of my pocket.
Yeah, well, Lauren and I talked about this on a previous episode. We dug deep into the whole use case and what was the job people were trying to do to hire that watch for. And I told that story about how I basically got it one for free, or got offered one for free, and I took the gift card to an Apple store instead of getting an Apple Watch.
Well, Casio has dropped a new smartwatch at CES this week, and actually, I think it looks pretty badass, if we're allowed to say it on this podcast. But I would give something like that a try. I don't know.
If we can talk about ball ache, we can say badass.
I'm getting awfully foul. I need to clean up. I had too much time off.
I'm going to get that little E next to the podcast.
I forgot it was all Rick saying these foul things, these foul, foul things. Yeah. Okay, so smartwatches, are they going to even be around in 2 years, or are they going to be out of the business?
Oh, they'll be around. They'll be around. People, there's a use case for people who want to buy them.
I think there's a use case, but also the moment the smartwatch, believe it or not, can think about replacing the phone, then you got a situation. It's very possible. You know, if you, instead of the smartwatch extending the phone, think of the smartwatch replacing the phone. Now, that's a bold statement, but, you know, think of that and it might work.
Maybe. Uncomfortable silence.
Yeah. Very uncomfortable.
That just shows you how boring this topic is. Like, yeah, the zero Fs.
I guess we are definitely moving on from that one. So, nobody cares about smartwatches. People are still interested in driverless cars, though, right?
And there's a ton of stuff. There's like a whole slew of stories.
It's like every day there's a new driverless car story. You know, and I'm like, still a little early here. We still can't, you know. There are just so many other things and variables and challenges that face us. I love that they're doing pilots for Uber and some of these other things. And I think it's very, you know, ultimately that's going to be kind of like the norm. You know, but I still think it's like another 20 years out before it's kind of reached the vision that a lot of people have for it, because there's so many different variables. I mean, people are bad drivers now. It just seems like there are a lot of calculative tasks that need to be fixed. There's a lot of infrastructure that needs to be put in place to make this work properly, and a lot more testing and validation before it becomes a reality. And so you'll probably see these pilot programs continue to run for the next couple of years. And then obviously, you know, you're going to see legislation and all kinds of things crop in to kind of kick around. What does it look like? And then obviously it's going to be, you know, primarily United States only, probably, and at least in the beginning. When, how does it work overseas? And then you may have a whole generation of people who grow up never learning how to drive a car. God forbid you go to Africa. There's not going to be driverless cars there.
My guess is China will have them soon. They need to have them, right? But here's the thing. I don't think we're managing it properly, right? Because there was another article that came out that talked about how if we move to self-driving cars, and we're going to have shortages of organs, human organs, yep, available organ for transplant.
Organ donors are going to take a crash because most of them they get from the car accidents. We need more people getting in car accidents.
Most of the organs that get donated, you know, the people that need organs happens, you know, because somebody young dies in a car crash. And so if we're not killing people in cars, where are we going to get our organs from? And I think that, yeah, you know, is an argument for accelerating, or, you know, accelerating the development of driverless cars so we can have more of them creating accidents so we don't lose our supply of organs.
No, that's what China's for.
Oh gosh, you guys, come on, focus.
It's what it's for?
China. That's, China. Yeah, they're just gonna slaughter a bunch of people and take their organs, and then they'll sell them.
No.
Yeah, that's getting edited out of the podcast.
No. Isn't that like the plot of like half a dozen movies? Like, you know,
right? There is a black market for organs. Yeah.
Oh hell yeah, right. There is.
Yeah, and you know, in the future we'll probably have self-surgery so we can clone our pieces and sell them off and stuff. But
no, they're just going to grow organs in the dish. I thought that was the big.
We'll have stem cell pigs. Stem cell pigs.
Stem cell pigs.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what we're going to have. Our own little stem cell pigs. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we're putting pig valves in hearts. We've been doing that for years.
Can I buy that domain?
Stemcellpigs.com.
God, this has gone off the rails. We are rusty, aren't we?
We are rusty, but you know, it's my fault. I was running this train wreck.
Happy holidays, everyone, and welcome back.
Yeah. So if we're going to get off organ shortages from self-driving cars, maybe we should talk about something else that's really wonderful. You know, artificial intelligence. You know, machine learning. They're already starting to replace Japanese white-collar workers in insurance companies and financial industries in Japan, right? Watson. IBM Watson is replacing some large number of workers at a Japanese insurance company. 35 workers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a large number.
No, but it's a decision-making process tree. And obviously, you know, they have a lot more faith that Watson can do the analysis for these claims adjustments than the people can. You take the human factor out of it. Ultimately, what that should do for the insurance industry is drive down costs significantly, and hopefully normally they would pass on the savings to the consumer, which is total BS. It just means it can be more profit for themselves.
Trickle down doesn't work.
No, not in this industry. But so, when you, just like it's impossible to call so many companies today and actually get a real human, it'll be impossible to actually get to a real person who can actually make an adjustment to your insurance claim if the Watson screws it up.
Well, I think the human being in an insurance company, you know, along claims adjusting and claim satisfaction, or what do you call it, if you're getting a process approved or something like that, it's all around obfuscating things to slow things down and make things take longer, right? I mean, if you replace people with a machine, all of a sudden, you know, your claim could be approved in seconds instead of weeks. That's going to really...
See, what they do is just they reject everyone in the first round anyways.
Yeah, so it's a machine that is automating that process.
Yeah. Automate the initial rejection. Exactly.
So they don't have to pay 35 people to say no.
Yeah.
There's three. But think about the idea of maybe I'm going to spin it the other way. You could pay extra for a human. That's value add.
Hey, you know what? I know a lot. I personally would pay more to speak directly to a human. You know, you can't call LinkedIn. They don't have a phone number.
I didn't realize you tried.
Have you tried calling LinkedIn?
You can't. I know somebody.
It sounds like you've tried calling LinkedIn. I mean, what the hell are you thinking?
So what happened, a friend of mine that had an old account on LinkedIn that was like a premium one, and they upgraded it automatically to the Ultra Platinum version. They went from paying $24 a month to they dinged him for $1,200. And he's like, I could not find any way to speak to an actual human. Like,
spoken to a human still, before.
Yeah, still had not been able to get through like a week later and had to go dispute it with a credit card company. I mean, I was Googling about it and I'm like, holy cow, this is like an actual ongoing issue with lots of people getting hit with this massive charge because they weren't paying attention to something. Well, you know, read the fine print. But, you know, trying to get that corrected, totally impossible for the longest time.
Yeah, it's the AI bot they put in charge of finance. It's automatically upgraded a bunch of people as part of a new revenue model.
That happened after Microsoft acquired them, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, they have to monetize LinkedIn some way. They might as well just
There's an article from Business Insider in 2012 says, "No, you cannot contact LinkedIn by phone."
But you can have a sales call with
LinkedIn. How LinkedIn's no phone policy ruined my life. So they have no phone. We take members first to approach everything that we include to build. Oh, I'm not gonna read.
You have to go on LinkedIn and then send a personal message to the people that work there to call you.
Yeah, but yes. I was on a phone call with somebody from LinkedIn. They were a salesperson. They were trying to sell.
Well, that person. Oh, but yeah, like, yeah. If you have an issue with them, there's no way you cannot call LinkedIn and reach a human unless you know a specific person's phone number. And a lot of LinkedIn people don't carry business cards.
I know where some of them live, so I've got that.
I know one of the dudes who runs their infrastructure, but it's, you know. That's great customer service.
Yeah, so was that all done pre-Microsoft, post-Microsoft?
I think that's pre-Microsoft, but I'm going to guess that that's such a great policy in terms of reduction of cost that you, why would you change it?
Yeah, maybe that'll just spread throughout the world of software and services. You can't talk to anyone, ever.
There are two phone numbers for LinkedIn. One will give you a recorded message. The only option of talking to humans seems to be if you press number 2 for immediate inquiries, it leads to a voicemail, which says it's for customer service. Call the same number again.
That's fantastic. What did you think there'd be a sales phone number?
Oh,
everyone has a sales line. That's weird.
Okay, so let's shift around to talk about a company that we think does still have phones and takes calls, which is VMware. They made an acquisition at the end of the year, a company called PlumGrid that makes software-defined networking technology of some sort or another. Anybody understand what PlumGrid did and how it fits into what VMware's doing?
Oh, it's their SDN strategy. They're just putting more management.
They need more SDN?
Well, it's in that neighborhood. I mean, they're just giving more software-defined networking intelligence. There's a lot of OpenStack angle here. So
they're going to bake – I mean, because PlumGrid sits inside of the kernel. They're going to bake it into the hypervisor somehow and not make NSX – or I don't know what the product – is that still what it's called?
Yeah, NSX, yeah.
Make it not so convoluted, I would think. Or maybe
– But then also visualize it. That's important. If you look at their screen at the PlumGrid website, it's like what I call ECS, eye candy system. It's some pretty stuff. So, you know, that kind of stuff is really good.
Admin approachable.
Yeah, or, you know, the service provider, NOC type of thing. Well, the NSX has no play private customers. So the service provider is the one who's going to want this. But if the service provider has like a master network operating center, some sort of eye candy system on top of that would be appealing.
Isn't that what
where I'm going with
it? Isn't that what vRealize and some of those other products are supposed to do?
I don't know how NSX-y it is.
Oh. Not so, like vRealize, you'd have a whole stack.
Ooh, that's a good one.
NSX plus a bunch of other stuff.
That wasn't very NSX-y.
Sexy.
So you kind of wonder if that just that they snuck that in, thinking that they kind of didn't want anybody to know it, because you know when you do something like that at the end of the year and you announce it at the end of the year, there's timing of the deal. I get that, but it's kind of like let's just shove this under the rug, like the Red Hat OpenStack Platform 10 announcement. I mean, you talk about a bungled announcement. These guys came out with this on what was it, December 20th? I mean, nobody's paying attention, Red OpenStack Platform 10. So, I'm looking at this thing on the Red Hat site. So what's new? It's kind of like, so what, right? Does anybody think that this is a thing?
Somebody had an MBO to hit.
Yeah, I guess they made it. That sounds like what it is.
Or you got to use your budget, your acquisition budget before the end of the year.
So, I mean, this isn't a hot or not thing, but I'm thinking it's not hot. I mean, does anybody think that there's any temperature to this at all?
Definitely not NSX-y.
I mean, I think that OpenStack version 10 or, the Red Hat OpenStack ecosystem growing and expanding is a benefit for them because they do have a lot of traction, at least in OpenStack spaces. But the broad reach of it isn't quite as flashy as a lot of people would think. OpenStack has a lot of grasp and a lot of reach in a certain customer segment, but it still hasn't really quite gotten that general enterprise adoption rate. So right now it's telcos and service providers and people with significant IT staff and budget that are implementing it to get their benefit. I see a good fair amount of it, but then again, my focus is on fairly large customers. So, and within a specific caliber that are kind of like either hyperscale or web scale, for them, there's a lot of benefit to OpenStack. But if I was to go to just your standard, you know, SME, mid-level enterprise customer, they're just not ready for it. They don't see any value in it. It doesn't give them any competitive advantage, and it's awfully convoluted and difficult for them to implement.
So I don't know what you're talking about. It comes with Ceph.
what's Ceph?
Ceph is the guy who comes and installs it for you.
Yeah, it's Ceph.
No, but I mean, a lot of people are... It's more of like KVM use case, and when you're talking about OpenStack, and it's really KVM versus VMware.
I mean, I see VMware integrated OpenStack customers. There's a few of them out there, but you know, ultimately, it's for a different type of consumption model, provisioning model, and a very different set of type of workloads. It's, you know, let's use the stupid term pets and cattle. It's a lot more cattle than pets.
So what are the other things that came up towards the end of the year that I know Yadin was really big on, and it took me a while to like figure out what it was all about, was this idea of a automated beer tab or a beer pull that they're experimenting with in London.
Oh, yeah. You know, the U.S. got it. We have to adopt this. This is a must. Really? Integrate this with Apple Pay or something like that, and you've got a home run. Okay.
So I want you to explain to me, Yadin, why I would prefer this to asking a bartender, you know, to fill my
consistency of the pour.
Yeah. Well, just the basics, not having to wait in line. Okay. Cause that's my, especially like
line, unless you get your own one. So you walk up to a bar and there's just a row of these and you just sit in front of it. It's kind of like that Pepsi, that Coke machine that has all, you can like make 5 million permutations of soda.
That the freestyle.
Yeah. Then you want those for beer.
It pours any kind of beer out of there.
Oh, mm-hmm. I get one for my house.
Imagine a beer cafe with like 20 beers or 40, 50 beers on tap, and they're all just like individually ready for you to just go up and just fill up. You got an open tab. You just go.
Yeah.
So no, what happens if the last beer out of there was like a Scotch ale and it's really muddy? I mean, you're going to get some of that. Pristine.
They have to clear it out for that.
They'll clear it, a little
squirt that pops out that clears it.
There'll be like a robot AI that'll just come and clear out.
Like a little hand that pops around and wipes. Or no, maybe they'll pay a guy because, you know, if it's Europe, they can't just replace people because they'll shit themselves. So there'll be a guy who's paid to wipe the tip of the thing every time the beer gets poured. And that's how they'll keep the people
employed. Just the tip. So you put your credit card or whatever, your phone up to the pay
and pump
thing on this. The pay and pump.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like,
there's a name right there.
Yeah,
the pay at pump. No, it's pay at pump instead of pay and pump.
No, pay at pour.
Oh. Pay and pump's already in Amsterdam.
Well, they've had that for in Japan for a while, the self pour type of thing, but it was singular in the beer. I mean, I had fun with that in the airline lounge in Japan. I push a button, and a beer gets exactly perfectly poured. Centauri time. It was good stuff.
And that's what this thing does. If you look at the picture of it, it's just a single hop, right? It's like boom, one cup, and you're good. It's like the Keurig for beer.
Yeah,
the Beerig.
That's so much.
I think the underage drinking is going to be maybe the thing that's going to be hard to stem there, unless you got to swipe your driver's license or something.
You still have to go to a bar or a pub.
So if you can couple this with what they're doing, you know, in the Netherlands or whatever, right, where they've got the underground pipeline from the brewery right into town.
You remember that, Mark?
Yeah, you can just run the beer directly from the brewery into your glass. But now,
as long as you don't run it across any Indian reservation land, okay?
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why they're taking this route, though, is in you know, parts of Europe, they don't have like, you know, you don't have a waiter or a waitress. You got to go up to the bar and get everything. And that's just like slows everything down.
In this fucking world anymore. We're not going to drive cars or trucks. We're not even going to have people pouring beers for us.
We're not going to have to talk to anyone. But like the Amazon Go concept store, you don't have to talk to a single person. You go in that store to buy your stuff pretty soon.
I kind of like it when the bartender screws up and the beer goes over the edge and the foam's there. More booze.
More 3% lost product, man. Slim margins.
Guys,
I get more gin and my tonic than I bargained for. You know,
think of the grocery store. Do you guys? I go even with a full cart of groceries. I'll go to the self scan every single time. What do you guys do?
Oh, hell no.
Oh, yeah. Self. Oh, yeah, self.
Because you can't do the self-scanner.
Apple one of those self-scanners? Oh, my God, Rick.
I don't like people. I don't want to talk to anybody.
You don't have to talk to them. You just have to
want
to
I don't want to look. I don't want their, just
go up there
finger
at them.
I don't want their finger on my Swiss chard.
Well, you've seen the new Amazon concept store, the Go store, where you don't have to talk to anybody. Those are great. You just walk in, grab your stuff, and then you just leave, and you just tap yourself out. There's like a security guard, I guess, at the front. Make sure you tap yourself in and out. That's it.
Grab and go. Do you do that? Do they have one up where you live, Yanine, up there?
I'm sure they'll have one in Seattle first, and then there'll be one in San Francisco.
No, I've seen like the lockers, the Amazon lockers, like at my neighborhood Safeway or whatever, where you just go in there and you pick something up. But you're talking about you going to a store?
Oh, yeah, a whole store. You tap your phone in and you go in and it just knows what you're putting in your cart. There's a bunch of different technologies that, you know, spatial awareness and barcoding and all that stuff. And you put it in your bag and it knows what you've done. You know, when you take something back out or put something back on the shelf too. And you just walk out and it tags and it automatically charges you. And if you want a drone to deliver something to one of these stores, it comes and drops it off and you can pick it up.
I want to do that for, you know, legalized pot.
We already have that.
You have the weed dispenser machine.
Yeah. Hey, somebody will come to your house.
I want to order a flight of pot and then have a drone bring it to my house. But first go into a place and have the drone like fly around and have a little like pot bag filled up with various kinds of pot.
You have a drone that actually sprays the smoke. They can hot box your house.
the
drone has a little thing in there, right? And it flies around and you can skyrocket with it and then you just go suck in the air or whatever. You can
see someone's gonna attach like a vape system to like an iRobot or something like that.
It's like the volcano, right? And
I'm sorry, my address was 2332.
Yeah, the exhaust from the drone is the actual weed smoke, and then it stops by and hovers over your head and you just grab the bag and you're good to go.
That's hot.
It's the huff and go.
Oh, I have a legitimate story here that actually applies. Okay, so I'm in Mombasa, Kenya, and this is like 1993 or 94, and we had stopped by there after we were in Somalia. We came back, and we're like, "Hey, we're going to stop off in Mombasa. You guys can have a couple days to party it up." And so I'm out swimming in the water, and all of a sudden, a dude pops up in the water with a baggie in his mouth, and he's like, "Underwater delivery man." He's like, he's trying to sell me weed in the ocean, like right outside of a resort in Mombasa, Kenya. And I'm like, I didn't even know what to say. I'm like,
they charge of the room.
you have to, purchase, don't you?
I was in the military. I could not partake and it was completely not legal and really a big deal if you got busted. But, I'm like, oh God, you know what? Your game is strong, dude. I may have to roll with that, but alas, I did not.
Oh, that.
I know. That probably, I felt like there's a missed opportunity in my life.
That act of yours probably stopped a whole like revolution of delivery.
Well, I'm sure he found somebody else. He had the business model. Underwater delivery.
Mon.
Mon.
Did he really say Mon? Did he say Mon?
He said Mon, and I'm like, we're not in Jamaica. It's Africa.
It's a marketing thing. It's just marketing.
I think he had his story, he was sticking to it.
Oh, boy. I think with that, we should move right into a hot or not.
Oh,
because that's hot, but that wasn't our official hot or not.
No, that's pot, and it's hot. It's a lot better when it's hot. But if it's not, it's not.
Oh, boy. Yadin, do you have a hot or not for us this week?
Got a couple of them. And I'll let you guys first do the pick here. So we've got home, AI robots in your house that people might actually want to be friends with. Or we've got drones protecting your house. So robots inside or outside the house? We're going inside or outside here?
Robots where?
I'll pick one then. Okay. So like hot or not? Echo. Yeah, hot or not? And this will go right off of what we were talking before. Alarm.com is building drones to monitor your home inside. This is actually inside and outside. So do you want a drone in addition to spraying vaping? So that you can get where you need to go. in there at your house. Do you want a drone just patrolling kind of around the perimeter of your house? Think is this hot that they're coming up, alarm.com, with the patrolling drone? Let's start with you, Gabe.
I mean, I think...
Yeah, so what is the idea? It's like a guard dog?
Yeah, it's just like an eye in the sky. I mean, what's it going to do, like fly into the guy? I'm coming to you. Is it bark? Does it have like a speaker? The drone that flies around and barks?
Just for context, this is coming out of CES, of course. Because everyone cares what comes out of CES.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Yeah, just wanted to ambush you with that one.
Good luck selling that thing. I'm sure somebody will buy it. It's kind of cool for self-surveillance. I mean, if let's say it picks up some movement, right? Or there's a sensor that picks up movement. The drone flies up and starts videotaping. That way, you don't have to have static cameras sitting all over the place.
Mm. Yeah, well, they did that for... There's one for that, like for snowboarders and extreme skiers, where you have a little sensor and it just follows you. Yeah,
but the criminal would have to have the thing to be followed. So this would be just something like sensor tag. Kicks off and the drone pops up and says, "Hey, asshole, what are you doing?"
Yeah, comes off its little dock and starts to follow.
Unlike the one of the housewives from Atlanta, the housewives of Atlanta or something like that, one of those reality shows, she pulled a gun on three people that jumped her fence to come over to her house the other day. I'm like, there you go, that's Atlanta for you.
Good times. So is that I'm guessing that's a not hot from you, Gabe.
No, I think it's got potential. It's just,
come on, Gabe, you're like sitting on the fence right now.
I'd go with hot. And if I have like a killer mansion and I can have drones that pop up and zap people, I think that'd be cool.
Or if you're like in Atlanta and a rap star or something.
Yeah. Yeah. both of those would work. I'm hot.
There you go. All right. Well, Mark, over to you. What's are you hot or not on this?
Nice. I'd like the German Shepherd instead, the real thing. I like the organic teeth, the saliva and all that. I mean, not that I have one.
You like the kill command. Kill.
I like the kill.
Release the hounds.
I'd put a paintball gun on that.
We're going to put German Shepherds out of work too. You know, we're putting insurance guys out of work, drivers out of work, and we're putting everybody out of work. Let's keep the dogs employed at least, right? So I'm saying not hot. I want a vicious animal patrolling my house, even though I don't have one now.
Yeah, but how long until they give the drones the little? Was it the working dog or you can take your dog on the airplane type of thing? The safety animal? We'll have safety drones.
Service animals?
A service drone. You have a service drone you can stick on the airplane to comfort you. I mean, the dog thing has completely jumped the shark. I mean, like, I guarantee, I mean, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, how many dogs did you see at the damn airport wearing a little vest? One a year? Now it's like, I can't go on a flight without somebody with like a safety hamster or some crap like that. It's so stupid. Sorry. Divergent. It just drives me nuts when I see all these dogs on the plane. I'm like, give me a break.
Dogs on the plane.
$25 to get a little dog vest. And like, oh, I can't fly without my dog. Then stay home.
Okay, so in some period of time, we'll give those jobs to people. So you don't take a job. Just
there you go.
Travel.
Put a vest on a human. Get a kid. Rent a kid. And that can be your service animal.
Yeah,
because teenagers need anybody. Work today. There is no more fat. You know, they're not going to have any fast food anymore. So you have to have safety teens or something like that.
Yeah, the children of today that are going through school, growing up, what are they going to do? Might as well just
nothing.
Have them be
can't even pick strawberries anymore.
Have them be service people.
Service
people. Dude, you're on a foul rant, Gabe.
I'm just looking at how much I flew last year, and I'm like, God damn it! How many
heard
dogs
about that
did I
enough
see on
already?
Oh, okay.
All right. So to get this back on track here, Mark. So is that a hot or not?
It's a not hot.
Excellent. Because you're all about the dogs and the saliva and stuff. So yeah. Rick, where are you on this?
I got two versions of hot for this. Now, it would be really hot if the drone was K2SO from Rogue One. That would be badass. That would be so hot. But it's not. Now, I think it's only just hot for the idea of robotic security drone type situations around the crib. For a lot of unnecessary conveniences that I'd really like. Do my flowers need watering? Let me go look. I'm not going to get my butt up and go outside. I'll just fly the drone over there. And also imagine I could go look in you know, just little things like, did the kid leave the bike outside? Little things, it's kind of like, did I shut the garage door? Those types of things, I could answer those types of questions really easy with these types of technologies. Another thing is, you know, traditionally the camera arrangement, there's lots of blind spots. I don't have an external camera now. I've been thinking about it. But the, how can I say, Ricatron estate is kind of big, so it's like I'd have to go to Costco and buy a lot of them. The idea of a fleet of drones from a drone pad on the roof or something, that sounds pretty badass. So I think it's hot, but I don't live in an area where I'm too, you know, I live in a safe arrangement. The only thing about a drone is it's pretty catchable, stoppable. You could come in with a higher drone and drop nets on it, those types of things. Shotgun, a drone dog, a bird dog, something like that. Go take out the drone. You know, who knows? But generally hot, but if it was K2SO, it would be really hot.
You just K2SO want Wally to come to it to fruition. You want to get in your little chair and slurp your Slurpee and never have to get up.
Mm, yeah, maybe. Or drink my beer.
Have it pour out automatically for you.
You have that beer machine. You have the drone deliver the beer machine.
Yep. And Amazon drones would deliver the drones that you need to patrol your house.
Beer delivery drones, I'm all about.
There you go. So we got two hots and one not hot. So I'm going to go ahead and make this a tie, because I'm going to go not hot. But I think that's my bias, because I too am in an area where it's not really it's pretty mellow out here. And I think the only thing it would capture would be the stray cats. But hey, I'll throw this in the hot category if I could have it capture stray cats that come in the yard and try and mess with my my vegetables, then yeah, I'll throw that in the hot category. So
and gophers,
get the product team and gopher. Oh, gophers, God, would be so hot. If it had heat sinking or heat sensing technology, you could just spear those things under the ground.
Yep,
that would be amazing. Okay.
Oh man, I got my first squirrel kill of 2017. Nice. Right on the morning of January 1st. A squirrel came into my tree, and I went out there and first shot dead.
You sound like you live in the tree. What do you mean, in my tree?
My tree, Rick. It's my tree, man. These squirrels and I are fighting over dominance in the tree.
The squirrels are going to win, Brojito.
There are more of them than you.
But they don't have little pistols.
All right.
22?
They need Kevlar. No,
just air pistol.
Oh, yeah, that sounds fun.
It is.
Can suck it.
Yeah.
Well, you should. Thomas Bryant. He had a real squirrel. No, he had a deer problem in Austin, Texas. He found someone on the internet that would sell him like a Class 4 laser or something like that. And then the deer would
fire.
Well, serious. They'd come up there eating his hosta, and he would zap the deer on the nose or something. He had automated it. I need him to write a blog about that. That was an interesting story at lunch at VMworld one year.
Hosta consumption?
No, I don't know. Or maybe it was his tree. I don't know, but something.
The squirrels are killing off my tree. That's the problem, right? They eat the bark off all the way around the branches, and then the branch dies.
Yeah.
Well, then feed them corn. Give them corn. They'll eat that.
I've tried all kinds of stuff. I put water out.
They don't eat non-GMO or GMO.
No, the only thing that they're eating now is little pieces of steel.
Get a cat, and... Mark.
No, yeah, put. Well,
I've got two of them. They bore each other to death, right?
No,
they,
your cat's.
I need a bobcat. I need a bobcat.
Rat poison. Put rat poison out. They'll eat that.
Got to get a squirrel drone.
Yeah, I need a squirrel drone. I mean, I've thought about trying to put up an electric fence and all that stuff, but solar-powered electric fence to zap the squirrels.
Mm-hmm. Get those bastards.
No, they usually get the idea after you plunk a few, then they don't.
You just let their bodies, they just let their carcasses rot there on the ground, and then they kind of know not to come around.
Yeah, I've got hardware cloth, you know, and wire up there in the trees to save the areas where the.
I swear to God, Pete is going to come after every single one of us.
Yeah. I should just put up the squirrel carcasses scare squirrels.
Just start growing honey locusts. They'll go
their heads
away.
On pikes and just like in Walking Dead or something, and just put them all over the place, or crucify a squirrel, or do something interesting. You know, you can't just let the bodies rot there. You got to really send a message.
Well, it was a good thing. It was a good shot because my wife witnessed the whole thing and she was kind of surprised by it. You know, it's like, oh, you killed him? It's like, yeah. And at least I didn't have to chase him around the yard with a shovel and beat him down for the last breaths.
He didn't wing him. He's all flopping around. He jumps in your face. I mean, that's what's going to happen. You're going to go take walk up with the shovel. He's going to leap up and bite you in the skull.
Like that Frank Zappa album cover.
Weasel with my flesh.
Yeah.
Wow, this was a great show.
And happy holidays to all of you out
there. Could we be any more rusty?
I don't know.
My next show will be replaced by AI.
Watson's going to do it next.
Watson will do our next show for us for the last 10 seconds.
All right, I think we need to wrap it.
And with that, thanks everybody for staying in here this long if you did. And thanks you, Dean, Rick, Gabe, for coming on and starting off the new year on In Tech We Trust. And we look forward to doing more of these.
It's excellent. I love you all.
Now it's creepy.
That got creepy. Good way to go, Gabe. That was good.
But seriously, the honey locust, you should get a honey locust tree, man. It's probably illegal in California, but that thing will kill those squirrels.
I got to hop on a call. I just want
honey locust
uploads.
Yeah, right, have you seen that thing?